those on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade from My Umbrella Marketing. And here tonight, we have a great panel of people to interview. We have Matt Plummer, who is our Shasta County District 4 Supervisor. Welcome, Matt.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Jacob Garcia is a Shasta County Changemaker Fellow. Welcome, Jacob.
Hello. Thank you.
And then Olivia Racky, and she is our Shasta County Change Maker Fellow.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So tonight we are going to be talking about Front Porch Shasta. You've probably seen it, you've heard it, someone's talked about it, but if you're one of those that maybe you don't know too much or you want to know more, this is the show for you this evening, because we are going to find out how these change makers and Matt Plummer have come together to really change our community and help change our neighborhoods. So I'm going to start out with Matt. And just let you give us a little overview of what this program is.
Absolutely. Yes. Front Porch Shasta is a grassroots initiative about helping people in Shasta County create communities where it feels like there's a neighborhood, or it feels like they know their neighbors, they feel like they belong, they feel like they're connected to the place more than just pulling into their garage and shutting the door. And what we found is that, you know, over time, particularly as we've become more of a digital age, mm-hmm. as we, you know, we've built our communities around having fences and garages, that it's actually not super common to know your neighbors, to feel like if something happens in your neighborhood, you can go to someone and talk to them. And so we said, what if we could help people build relationships in their neighborhoods, do something collectively as a community? And so we said, you know, let's put this out there and see if people are interested in going after it, but maybe feel like they need either a little push or a little, you know, support or equipping. Mm-hmm. And so what we've done is we've asked people to say, I want to focus on my neighborhood for the next year, and I'm going to do three main things. I'm going to host two community gatherings over the course of the year. I'm going to identify one mini community project and then work on it as a community to make the community better. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing is we're posting each month these monthly challenges, one per week, so four per month, that are just like, take a walk in your neighborhood three nights this week, that type of thing. Wave to a neighbor each time you see them. The simple things that all of us can do, but maybe we haven't been in the habit of doing. Mm-hmm. And so those are the three things that we're asking captains to do. And what we believe will happen is that it will foster relationships, it will build connection, it will reduce vulnerability that people in the community have because they don't have a network around them that can support them.
Yeah, absolutely. And so then you have Jacob and Olivia. So the two of you came through another program. So give us a little bit of the background. Who would like to take that one on?
Well, for the capstone, we kind of came in kind of coming to our own individual projects. Like, I came up with something kind of particular to my school, and Jacob too. But Matt got this really cool idea about how we could kind of work on it together, and by through this project, our final product, we would kind of achieve a more tight-knit community, which could instigate some of our ideas. So once he introduced that to us, we kind of thought about it, talked about it, and thought like, is this idealistic? Is this realistic for us? And is this what our community needs? And yeah, we thought so. So this is what we've been working on. And yeah.
Perfect. And so tell me a little bit about what a change maker fellow is. It kind of will help us set the stage as to why Olivia and Jacob are here this evening.
Yeah, I'll give a little bit of context and then Jacob can take it from there. So I even when I started, came into office in 2025, I was like, you know, it'd be great to engage our young people in the process of government. And one, to just expose them to how government works, because I think, you know, a lot of people don't realize all the ways that government actually impacts the lives of the people in the community.
Yeah.
So that was part of it. And then also, I think it's so important to empower people to take action in their community to make it a better place and to feel confident that they can do that. And so I launched back in, I think, winter, spring, Shasta County Changemakers Fellowship, which was inviting three students, high school or college, to join with me over the summer for about 2.5 months and to meet with me once a week as a group. We would talk through different issues, but they would also have to identify, as Olivia mentioned, a capstone project of how they wanted to improve the community, which was part of what they had to put in their application. And so that was kind of the program and the motivation behind it. And Jacob can share kind of how he got into it, why he decided to apply, and yeah, your thoughts there.
Yeah, I was sent the application for the Changemaker Fellowship about 5 minutes after it was posted, and I was like, all right, I'll work on this application. And one of the big things that was heavy on my heart during that time was civic engagement. And I came into the Changemakers Fellowship as knowing it was a summer-long program, that we were going to pick one project on our own individually and work on that throughout the summer and have real change and real metrics. Mm-hmm. And mine was community engagement. And I wanted to have more voter turnout. I wanted to increase that turnout and get people involved in boards and commissions within the county. But I think over summer, I think into our third or fourth meeting, we said, let's go big, or go home. And we came into Front Porch Shasta. It took us a while to settle on a name for it, but yeah, I think the changemaker whole role was a young person within the county that wanted to see some change and just needed a little bit of help to get that out there. And I think us four now are finally there, and I'm excited to launch it, I think, Monday.
So I have to say the name is brilliant from my perspective as someone who does marketing, because it caught my attention immediately when I saw it come across my email. And I love the, like, they're holding coffee and they're sitting and it's not intimidating. It's very open. And I can see this happening and spreading. It's that whole ripple effect of be kind to someone and they'll be kind to someone. So I loved it. So well done. However you came to the settlement of that name.
It wasn't easy. Yeah, we went through a lot of different versions. But we did want something that people, when they heard it, they could feel it and see it. And we felt that, you know, getting back to that time where, you would hang out on your front porch. Yeah. And now we've replaced, in a lot of places, our front porches with our garage doors. And I think that's the opposite of, and so we wanted to recultivate that feeling of being accessible, being open. And so we ended up getting to that, I'll say, with a little support from AI, you know, giving us a lot of options to look through. And so, we feel like that captures the heart of what we're trying to do here.
So then out of that, so I heard you say four. We have one other person who was a fellow.
We originally had three, and then once we've launched the program, we originally were only going to, and this was a topic of debate, and even an informal bet around how many neighborhoods we had said five, but then when we got 10 applications, we said, you know, we think we should just support everybody who wants to do this. Yeah. But then, so that prompted the need to bring, because the way it's going to work is Olivia, Jacob, and the other two are going to support captains, the front porch captains, over the course of the year. And so we said, we need to add someone else. And so one of the other students who had applied for the fellowship, we re-invited her to join us.
Nice. Well, I think that's a really good natural place for us to go ahead and take a break. And we're going to, you know, like everything, there's commercials. So please join us. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We're going to hear more about Front Porch Shasta, and how the community can get involved.
Unique homes, uniquely placed, uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
Have you stopped into Harmony yet? We'd love to welcome you in. We've thoughtfully curated brands we truly love, from Lululemon, Vuori, Free People Movement, to The Upside, alongside beautiful home goods, clean body care, candles, gifts, and everyday pieces you'll reach for again and again. We believe shopping should feel inspiring, not overwhelming. Come slow down, explore, and discover something you didn't know you needed. We're located in the heart of downtown Reading on California Street between Curated and Theory Coffee, right next to Organic Pilates. We can't wait to welcome you into Harmony.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has been more than just a store. We've been a cornerstone of our community, owned by people like you. We proudly offer top-quality farm and ranch supplies, including our own Rogue feed, as well as workwear, western apparel, garden essentials, and pet care products. By signing up as a Grange Rewards customer, you not only enjoy exclusive benefits like special offers and 1% back on most purchases, but you also become part of something bigger, a cooperative that you own and help shape. Join Grange Rewards today.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. Well, welcome back to the show. You know, some of our best conversations happen when we go to commercial, and then we're like, oh, let's save that for when we come back on. It leads actually very nicely into my next question is, why does simply knowing your neighbor matter? Like why?
I feel like a long time ago when communities, unfortunately, they were small and spaced apart, but that almost came with something special that each community had that set itself different was that everyone was there to kind of keep each other in line. Back before we had the ambulance, the police, lifeguards to come to people's aids, the community was in charge of that. And so yeah. People were knocking on each other's doors. Everyone was connected. And also if someone kind of like, you want to know, was acting weird or needed some advice or needed to be called back into line, people weren't afraid to kind of be like, hey, you know, like, take your head out of the clouds or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I feel like, has gone away. So it's way easier for people because now you can go get things online. You don't have to walk out and face that embarrassment from other people. So the isolation has kind of really revealed, not a bad part, but maybe a part that maybe wouldn't have been there if you would have been more connected with other people just around you, just like that little special, unique thing, you know?
Yeah, I would agree. I would say before we gave ourselves permission to isolate, it was easy to know or to see if Joe was walking down the street and his head was hanging low. Hey, I wonder what's the matter with Joe. Or it, you would see somebody, you know, at the grocery store. Well, now we get our food delivered to the house. A lot of people, not everyone. You don't have that same human connection. I would agree. Jacob, have you noticed that in your circle?
Yeah, I think it's important to know your neighbor. I lived in my neighborhood, the same house, for 17 years, and, you know, it used to be in a much older neighborhood, mm-hmm. and then now it's becoming much newer with newer families moving in, and I don't know those neighbors. And that kind of hurt me a little bit because, you know, as the neighbor next door across from me passed away, I don't know the new neighbor that moved in or something like that. But I think the whole mm-hmm. thing that keeps me going within this Front Porch Shasta is I want to know my neighbor because I think everybody should depend on their neighbor. I think, you know, there's that whole thing of community dependence and it takes a village to raise someone. Mm-hmm. I think there's so many examples that we use in times or in education when, you know, you learn to subtract 2-digit numbers and you say, go, you know, you want to go borrow 10, but you take a cup of flour from your mm-hmm. next door neighbor.
Exactly.
That doesn't exist anymore because you don't go over and take a cup of flour from your next door neighbor. And I think that's something that matters. And I think that's something that I want to see again. I want to be able to, you know, I'm baking brownies and I don't have one egg. So I go over to the next door neighbor and, hey, they have a bunch of chickens. I go grab an egg. Yeah. It's something like that that I would like to see again because, you know, we are more connected than ever mm-hmm. with technology, but at what cost?
Yeah, no, that's true. And, you know, I'm sitting here looking at the table. We've got like 3 different generations around the table. And my generation, I grew up outside of Reading, but I came back here when I was 10. And very much what you just said was normal. It was culturally acceptable to knock on your neighbor's door and ask for a cup of sugar or some coffee. They made commercials all around that whole concept. And so just look up Folgers. And so with that, though, you're right. You built a kinship, mm-hmm. Familiarity of that. So what are we thinking nowadays? So here we are now, and you can almost script it. People get off of the bus from school or come home from work. They go straight in, you're right, in the garage door almost always. And then there we sit until we leave the next morning unless we used to stand out and water our lawns with the water hose. Well, that's not as common anymore. We have sprinkler systems built in. That was another natural way. So what do you hope this does for Shasta? What is your thought?
Yeah, I think that what used to be natural and mm-hmm. the design of the built environment actually pushed you into connection with each other. Now it's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to overcome that and be intentional about, you know, developing new habits that push us into that. And I think that is a little bit of there's probably going to be some growing pains. And at the same time, as we launched Front Porch Shasta back in August and we're starting to take applications, I heard from a number of people who said, our community does that. We meet together, you know, on Friday mm-hmm. nights and watch movies. And so it's not that it's not happening anywhere. And even Jacob has some good examples from his community of how they've, you know, some of the neighbors, I forget the exact story, but put out food or something there. I don't know if you want to share that.
It was an ice chest of Otter Pops. It was American flag. I think it was 4th of July. It was Otter Pops, American flag. Then you take one just out of the ice chest and you keep on walking.
Nice.
And it was just, it was right after a meeting for Front Porch Shasta. And I was like, wow, I think that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really nice. Well, and I think you're right. It's not that it doesn't happen, but it's getting easier for it not to happen. And I think as we, evolve and age. So my generation did it all the time when we were younger, but maybe both of your generations being seniors in high school, maybe not so much. It's not the norm. So it's bridging that gap between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is that as we think about Shasta County, you know, there is, from a lot of folks, an interest in having less government, small government, less taxes. And part of the idea behind this from as a county supervisor is, okay, you're not looking to government to fix all your problems, but actually just by building relationship and connection with those in your neighborhood, that you can prevent the need for behavioral health services, you know, food stamps potentially, you know, different government services that have kind of stepped in to fill that role that community used to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of what we're trying to do too is as many local governments are facing financial constraints is empower those in the community to build those protective factors, those relationships that will prevent the need for government services down the road. And I think, you know, when I've talked to Jonathan Anderson at the Good News Rescue Mission, what he says is one of the key differences between those who become homeless and those who don't is that those who become homeless lack the social network to support them when, because inevitably
when it goes wrong,
yeah, when something's going to go, I mean, that happens to everybody.
Yeah.
But if you don't have that social network there when something goes wrong, you're much less, much more likely to end up in a position where you're homeless or in a crisis. And so I think what we're trying to do is just stir, inspire, and support people in building those things that will prevent the need for those other services that are honestly are a bit, under stress financially.
Yeah, I would agree. And we have a very real situation like that right now in our neighborhood where one of our neighbors is undergoing some medical issues that are very difficult. And we, in our little block, I'm very social, so I go out and meet everybody, and so is Case. So, you know, that wasn't hard for us to know that our immediate neighbors around us. But through that, we found that they had a real need. And what I loved about that was not only did our core group right there on the block, but then we got to meet people who were in other neighborhoods that were coming over and helping them with their basic needs in the
that's
moment
awesome.
Because it was, an emergent. But that's what attracted me so much to this, because I'm thinking, if we could just make that contagious, what a better world we would live in. And why not start with our street?
And we did have a lot of conversation, and I would be interested to hear from Jacob or Olivia on as they recall this, but we were asking, what do we think people need to do this type of thing? Like, why aren't they doing it naturally? And so we kind of brainstormed some things of like, and that was how we kind of came up with the four things that we were going to support them in. But I don't know, any thoughts on that of like what we were thinking in terms of why people don't do that?
I think the biggest thing that me and Faith agreed upon was a trend. You need someone to step up and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think the problem that we are tackling happens upon the younger generation, and us three originally are a part of the younger generation,
right.
And if we were the ones to step up and go out and do it, that would mean the world to the younger generation to become inspired. And also the fact that this trend would occur all across the county. I'm from very southern county, you're from western county, and then Faith is smack dab in downtown Reading, and we're coming from different parts of the county, but we're all coming together to change the whole county. And I think that we are providing inspiration for the younger generation. And I think that's what's going to get people out there first.
Yeah, I love that. That's nice. So then, you got together, you had a summer project under a different name. You, in essence, came up with your next chapter to this. And then now you have to select people. And it looks like we've got 2 minutes. So give us a little overview before we go to commercial break. And then when we come back, we can kind of dive back into that.
Yeah, so we opened applications in August and said we'll have about 4 weeks. If you want to apply to be what we're calling a front porch captain, which means that you're going to be the one to do those things I mentioned at the start of the program, pull together two community gatherings, identify a mini community project, engage in these monthly challenges, then apply and basically answer a few simple questions. You know, why would you want to be part of this? What do you see as your neighborhood? That was something we had conversation about.
Yeah.
Because there's like, well, are we talking about census tracts or zip codes? And we said, no, we don't want to do that. We want it to be organic and natural. So how do you define your neighborhood? Like, what feels like a neighborhood to you? And that will be your neighborhood that you focus on. And so that could be super small, or it could be, 100 homes. But what feels natural where there's natural connection points?
Well, and that's interesting because Case and I had very different opinions about what our neighborhood was.
Okay.
But he went out on a fire, so I won. So we marked out with his, he gave me feedback, but how tight-knit the neighborhood is versus how big you want to make your circle.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, the captains will learn a lot, too, as they get into it and they start trying to gather people. Okay, where do people come from? You know, is it just like the 10 houses on this street, or do we get the neighboring street? So I think that will be interesting as well.
Yeah.
And so we said we were going to pick 5, and we ended up getting 10 applicants. And we said, we should support all of them. And so We're kicking off in September. We're in September now, but we're having our kind of kickoff meeting on Monday, where we're basically going to meet with all the captains. And a lot of the captains have said, oh, my neighbor's going to do it with me, which I think is awesome, you know, pulling people in and or this family member. And so we're going to meet together, kind of cast vision. And then the idea is that the Changemaker Fellows, like Jacob and Olivia and Faith and Amaya, are going to interact with those captains over the course of the year and help them plan those gatherings. And we've talked with Shasta County Public Health, and there's a little fund that can be used to support that. So that's what we're looking at for this year.
Well, that's fantastic. So I want to hear more about that when we come back. You are listening to Heroes of the North State, and if you're just tuning in, it's Front Porch Shasta, our guest tonight, and we'll be right back.
Unique homes, uniquely placed, uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
This is Colonel Danny Gilman, the host of Front Lines of Freedom, the nation's largest military news and talk radio show. We address the most pressing issues facing the security of our nation, our armed forces, our veterans, and their families. Please join us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio show.
Join Aaron and Bill for We the People Radio, Sundays noon until 2.
It's conservative talk radio with a liberal dose of humor. Get the whole story from experts around the world delivering facts rather than opinion.
Missed a show? Busy at noon? No problem. Listen to our free archives when you have time. No commercial interruptions or download restrictions. We the People Radio.
.us.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Welcome back to the show. So Matt, so I'm thinking, you know what I love about this is it's a what do you want to call it? Is it an initiative, a program?
Yeah, initiative.
An initiative that doesn't require funding. You can get involved, participate, change your neighborhood, change just become friendly with your neighbors on your block. There's no big agenda that you have to do X, Y, Z and all this. So tell us a little bit about that, the vision of that.
Yeah, and that was the idea, is we actually spent a lot of time talking about who do we think the captains will be? Like, are they going to be 21-year-olds? Are they going to be middle-aged parents who are rushing their kids around, or retirees? And at the end of the day, we said, well, we hope it's actually people from across those generations.
Yeah.
And we realized that time would be a constraint. And so, and that was one of the reasons we thought people aren't doing it already, is that they feel it's too busy, or I feel awkward about, you know, talking to that person who I haven't met yet. And so we said, let's make this as easy as possible and just focus on a few things at first that feel doable, that you don't have to have some, you know, massive skill set or resources to be able to do, that anybody can do. And part of that, and what we'd encourage the whole community to do, and Olivia and Jacob can talk about this too, is we're creating a playbook of monthly challenges.
Yeah, I love
that.
That
are those simple things. And we posted the first one, you know, a week ago as September started, but we're going to post one each month that are just each week of the month. Here is something you could do. And anybody in the community, you know, outside of those who applied to be the captain, can take those on and try them out and see how it goes.
That was one of my questions. I'm like, if you didn't know about it, this is the first time you're hearing about it, and you're like, oh, I missed the window to become a captain. Well, guess what? You can still just be a really good neighbor.
Yeah.
So.
And we want to hear those stories too, because not only do we believe it'll be inspiration, but it'll also be educational for, and that's part of, you know, we're going to gather the captains as a kickoff next Monday, and then halfway through the year as well, to see, okay, let's learn from each other. What's working? What's hard? Where, you know, how can we help each other do this better?
Yeah.
And our intent at this point is to do it for a year and then, you know, see how it goes. And then, but if there are a lot of folks in the community who are like, oh, I'd love to do that with, you know, that type of support, then who knows? You know, maybe we'll launch it again next year and take a different group and do the same thing.
Well, and that makes me think about something Jacob was saying on the break. It's like, not everyone is homegrown here. We have people new in our community all the time. Do you want to kind of touch on that?
Right. I think me growing up, I grew up in Cottonwood. I've been in Cottonwood for about 17 years. My family is not from here. They're all from the Bay Area, and, you know, they kind of just moved up here because, you know, Lake Shasta, they had a boat and everything. So that was kind of the draw to Shasta County, and I ended up settling around Cottonwood, and me being the first one born here. And then, you know, I kind of grew up in, you know, the Cottonwood schools. We kind of rely on that community connectivity already, you know, down in the southern rural county. And I didn't really have that at first, because my family didn't know other families. My family didn't know the teachers that have taught there for about 30 years, or the administrators that, you know, it's your neighbor's son or something like that. But I would say going through about middle school, I kind of had that connectivity again, because my family had been here and they established their roots in here. And I think the one thing that also keeps me going with this is that I don't want people to wait to get involved. And, you know, I think that takes me back to, we were talking about the Otter Pops and the American flags on July 4th. I realized it was the house on the corner from when you turn on the mailbox, but that was the new neighbors. They just moved in about a month ago.
That's a good way to meet all their neighbors.
So they are already starting off, and I was like, wow, I wish my family, you know, would have started that or something like that. But it's a little different, you know, coming to a rural area like Reading. You know, people know each other here. Everywhere you go, we're going to walk outside. We're probably going to see someone we know after this. Mm-hmm. But I want people to not wait and everything. I want people to get out there. And I think it shouldn't matter that you're not from here. It shouldn't matter that you don't have those roots. It should matter if you're willing to, you know, get connected and know your neighbor.
Just get involved. Well, you know what I liked about, you know, the basic challenges are wave to someone. And I'm like, I can do that. You know, that's easy. I know when I was calling and talking to Matt, like, what is this about? I'm like, okay, I can do that. Or make a loaf of bread and take it to your neighbor. I'm like, okay, well, that's doable. That's really easy. But some people might be a little shyer. And so starting out with a wave might be more achievable.
Absolutely. Olivia, you want to add something?
Yeah, the playbook is it's kind of like a 10-minute thing every day, and the value comes within the consistency of doing it month by month, because I think a lot of people, when they hear a change, they're like, oh, I've got to do something huge, like, in a day. And, well, that is definitely a part of it with the community gatherings. Another part of it is making it, is normalizing it within your community.
Yeah,
so all
exactly.
of a sudden you're not thinking about it. It's just normal. You know that person's name. And so that's kind of the deal with the playbook. And of course, I like your point where even if you don't make a capstone, you don't become a captain, you can still, like, and I definitely encourage a lot of people to just read that or come up with their own things and just do, even if it's one thing a day, just do that, mm-hmm. you know? And that makes a big difference. It's like a compliment that stays in your head for a day. You're like, wow, someone noticed that. It really does. It feels like magic. So yeah.
There's a lot of challenges that we threw into that playbook. It kind of goes in levels of, you know, minor challenges, you know, medium challenges, and then major ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of my favorites was the one that I threw in there, and it was the walk around your neighborhood and kind of, you know, remember one thing about it. Because there was one thing I remember about my neighborhood that I never saw until about, you know, last year, was when you walk outside onto your driveway and you look forward on that road, you can see on sunrise that the sun makes the sky pink between those vines. I never noticed that for about 16 years, and I was like, wow. So every time there's a sunset, I always remember to look over there. But I would have never noticed that if my friend wouldn't have pointed it out. You know, the first time being at my house, pointed out, you know, the mountains. And just people appreciating their neighborhood and getting out there, because we're going to create habits. So my habits, you know, when I see a sunset, look right out there beside the front door, or, you know, you're driving your car, lift your hand up just a little bit, you know, above your steering wheel to wave, something like that.
Yeah, that's, I really like that, because it's almost like you're creating something about that community. As I get older and I start looking up, I'm like, oh, I'm about to leave this place. You kind of create, it's kind of grounded in your mind. Like, not only is it, oh, you're home, but now you have certain things you remember about it, and that makes it almost more important and stick longer in your memory. So I think that's a really good challenge.
I think it's really true, because in my neighborhood, my daughter lives about 3 blocks away from us. I'm really blessed with that. And she is a walker, and so she's walking all the time. And she came over and grabbed me, and down the same streets I have driven down for years, and there's one of the two of the houses actually have those take a book, leave a book little houses in front. I never paid attention to that or noticed it, and they have all different types of books in there, and they partake in that. Her and my grandson go by and they take a book and they bring them back, and they're always trading them out. And I thought, well, that, you know, just the walking, you're right, gives you a totally different perspective. So.
And I think that would be a good example of the community projects that, you know, the Front Porch Captains could do, is something of that scale. Is like, okay, create one of those little libraries in your community. And that's the, you know, the overall message is it doesn't take a lot, but it does take intentionality.
Yeah.
And so if you can get on this journey, and if we can all do it as a community. And so we hope that, you know, we'll start with 10 communities, but that people will be doing this all over the county. And that was the exciting thing, too, when we looked at who applied, is we do have people from all over the county. We have a couple from Shasta Lake, a couple from West Reading, Anderson.
Yeah.
Shingletown.
So it, we're excited that there are people all across the county that are interested in doing this and are looking to foster community.
How did you, we got a couple minutes before our break, how did you get that information out that you were looking for captains originally?
I primarily promoted it on the channels that I communicate with, but then I also asked a number of community partners who we have, you know, who feel like they're working on something similar. So, for example, First Five Shasta, which is working on 0 to 5 and, you know, young families. We did a podcast with them where we shared about that and the idea of connection and the importance of that to young families. And so worked with a number of community partners to get it out as well.
Nice. That's really nice. Well, when we come back, I think, I'm pretty sure I'll confirm with Alex, it's going to be our last break, so we'll bring out all the good stuff.
All right.
Okay.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back. You are listening to Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade with My Umbrella Marketing, and we're going to hear more about Front Porch Shasta. There you go.
Unique homes, uniquely placed, uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
You never know what treasures you'll discover at Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson. It's the perfect place to redecorate your home and find something truly unique, including a wonderful Amish food section featuring jams and popcorn, along with soaps and lotions and additional items. Come browse antique desks, lamps, wall art, and elegant Asian furniture that blends natural materials with beautiful craftsmanship and timeless style. Collectors will love the selection of dolls, angels, cupids, glass figurines, fine jewelry, artwork, and vintage photographs. There's even a children's section with books, toys, and clothes. And if wedding bells are in your future, Memory Lane has decorations and lace along with ribbons and more to choose from. Visit Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles. They're open Monday from 10 to 6, Thursday through Saturday from 10 to 6, and Sunday from noon to 5. Closed Tuesday and Wednesday. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Shasta County. Tired of filtered news? Welcome to Shasta Unfiltered, your trusted online newspaper for the North State. Straight facts on Reading politics, city council moves, local events, and the national stories that actually hit your wallet, like federal funding changes and job trends right here at home. No agenda, no paid spin disguised as news. Just honest reporting and the stories you need. Visit ShastaUnfiltered.com. Your community reported right.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis, to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavors. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Welcome back to the show. So I've got a couple of questions for Jacob and Olivia. So one is, you've been involved in the creation of this project. What is the most exciting aspect of it for you?
I think I'm very new to kind of this community service, putting myself out there, leadership, talking in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it will prepare me to take bigger roles in my life and be an active role in my future communities and my country. You know, this is a very, I think it's the relationship between young people, my generation and my parents and their parents' generation is very weak right now.
Yeah.
And maybe that has a whole thing to do with little tension in between us because of some misunderstanding with the internet and fast-paced technology. But I think that starting to repair that is very important. So those are kind of two things for me for this.
Yeah, very well said. And first of all, you speak very well, so great job. You don't have anything to worry about. So how about yourself, Jacob?
I think my favorite aspect about Front Porch Shasta is I kind of look at it as my final capstone project here in Shasta County. Not the last one.
Yeah. For round one. Yeah. Until you come back.
Yeah. But, I think there's a lot of things that happen in my life that I'm involved in. I mean, you guys have seen me around, you know, maybe it's in Mercy Oaks, maybe it's at school or somewhere. But I kind of look at this as my final capstone project because I'm kind of putting together all these little pieces that I've taken from everything that I've done. You know, I bring together the awesome education. I have the communication side of it. And everything's coming together into this one thing, and that's to build a community. And I think that's what I'm getting out of Front Porch Shasta, is kind of I'm putting all these skills together. And, you know, I met Olivia, I met Faith, I met Matt, and, you know, we all came together, and we're using all of our skills, and we're using all of our connections all together to, like, change this whole county. Yeah. And I think that's my favorite part, is that everything is starting to come together, and everything's starting to have, you know, everything always has meaning, but this is the mm-hmm. most meaningful thing that I've seen, is everything is coming together all at once, and it looks quite polished to me.
Yeah. Very beautiful.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. How about yourself, Matt?
Yeah, I'm excited about what we can do as, you know, residents in Shasta County if we, you know, don't sit back and wait for someone else to come and solve the problems, but we yeah. say, oh, I can do small things that will add up to something significant. And so I'm excited to see what the community will look like. And part mm-hmm. of the motivation for me was looking at our suicide rates is, mm-hmm. you know, some of the highest in the state, our overdose rates, these deaths of despair or disconnection, and saying, okay, we need to have treatment for that, and we're working on that. But at the same time, what if our community could actually heal itself by building bridges and connection yeah. to each other and be there for each other in a way that prevents people from getting to a place where they need that? And so I actually think that this, you know, without any funding from the government, without any official, you know, activity of just people knowing their neighbors, that will actually mm-hmm. make an outsized impact on those things that we're trying to impact at, you know, kind of the county level.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if I ask myself that this very question, I think I'm at this stage, because I wasn't part of the development, is looking a year ahead and seeing where it's going to be this time next year. I think that is pretty exciting from my perspective.
And one of the things on that that we're planning to do, and you know that I love data and stuff, so we're planning to have like a monthly survey of just something super simple and quick, but of the captains, to ask them questions of, you know, and so that we can see over the course of the year, okay, how did your perspective on the community, how did your relationships change? Mm-hmm. And our hope is that through these three simple things is that they'll get to the end of that and say, I feel more connected. I feel like I have more relationships, deeper relationships. Yeah. I feel more supported and connected to this place. And so we'll see what it shows. If it doesn't, we'll have to make some pivots, but I'm hopeful that we'll get to the end of this and we'll see that.
Yeah. And I firmly believe it's going to happen, because I think once you start investing and sowing in other people and getting to know them, laying down yourself and learning what their concerns are and what their needs are and what your neighborhood needs are, it just does something to us as humans. It bonds us closer together, in my opinion. And I think this is a very natural, that's how this show came about, was because of the car fire. I was sitting at home and I was hearing all these amazing stories about how people were rising up and you can stay at my house and here's a toothbrush and I'll take your animal. And it was people who normally wouldn't do that, to be perfectly honest. But they saw a greater need than themselves, so they did it. And I'm like, we need to shine a light on these people, which are all of you. You are these people. And so talked to Carl and Linda and they said, yeah, let's make it happen. And so here we are, how many years later now? We're 8 years,
I think.
And the show's been going strong ever since.
Wow.
So it's good people rising above, making a difference in the lives of others, because it's the right thing to do. And that's what this is to me.
Yeah.
So you're all local heroes in my mind.
Yeah.
So thank
yeah.
you. Yeah.
It's very unfortunate that such a traumatic event was kind of like the pusher to mm-hmm. make people come out and do that, but it is also very assuring that we still have that within us. And I feel like if we get more used to this, other big traumatic events in the future will be easier to handle with local leadership, not just with our mm-hmm. local county and our Reading government, but yeah. just with the community, so people aren't as stressed and tension, because they know not only do they have legal resources, but they also have social resources, like, right yeah. around them, so.
Yeah, so well said. Yeah, agreed. So with this kind of summarized, because our time's going to go faster than we know. So give us an overview one more time if someone's just tuning in. What is Front Porch Shasta
yes.
in a nutshell?
Front Porch Shasta in a nutshell is encouraging people in their communities to connect to their neighbors. We're going to support 10 people in their neighborhoods over the course of the next year to do three things. host two community gatherings, identify a mini community project, and carry that out.
Yeah.
And then act on these monthly challenges. For everyone else who's not one of those 10 front porch captains, one, reach out if you want to be involved, and we'll figure out a way to get you involved. But also, yeah, we're going to be posting each month four challenges that we think it would be amazing if everyone in Shasta County were to do those and take those on. And they're going to be small, simple things like wave to your neighbor. You know, you mentioned bake a loaf of bread. Someone in our community does that, and it's super meaningful. And so the hope is that, you know, in a year from now, in those 10 communities and the rest of Shasta County, that people will feel more connected to their neighbors. They'll feel like they have a social network, that they belong somewhere, and that they're supported by the people around them.
Yeah, very well said. So we're out. This reminds me, a couple nights ago, standing on the corner in front of our house, talking to our neighbor, and who pulls up? Mimi Mosley. She doesn't know where I live. She's two blocks down, or two houses down, and she didn't see us, but I'm like, oh, that's how close of a community we really are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in this day and age, it's easy to feel like we're so divided by, you know, opinions on this issue or that issue or what's happening locally. And there are some divisive things. And, you know, when people go to county board meetings, I often hear them say, not doing that again. But I think, and we can get scared of each other and like, ooh, that person, if I talk to them. But what happens, and when I was running for office, I, you know, knocked on, I think, 9,000 doors. And at that time, what I realized is that when you actually just connect with someone person to person, and you have a real conversation, and, you know, I always ask people, what would you like to see Shasta County focus on? That there was a connection between humanity that got past the divisiveness that we see, you know, at a board meeting or in the media or on Facebook, which ironically actually kind of, I think, creates more divisiveness in a lot of ways. And so what I'm hopeful is that as people get to know their neighbors, they'll realize, oh, yeah, sure, they voted for someone different than I did, but we can have a good relationship. We can be connected and we can support each other, because I think that's totally possible.
I do, too.
Yeah. And that's really concerning that people are giving up and just leaving board meetings like that, because if you look back at history, a lot of our progression to where we are now is because of compromising. Mm-hmm. You know, I think people have this idea that, oh, the thing that's going to save us all in the end is one idea, and if you don't side with that, you know. But compromising is key. So
yeah,
keep going to those board meetings. Keep supporting your local government, you know.
Yeah, well said. I agree. So if Shasta County could be stronger, what would it look like to you?
I think, you know, some of the things that we see show up, whether that's you know, women who are giving birth to children who have drug withdrawal effects. You know, our rate historically, it's gotten a little better, but our rate historically was 6 to 7 times the state average.
Wow.
And I think we would see things like that go down, because if a young woman gets pregnant and their neighbors are supporting them, they won't feel like they have to self-medicate using drugs because they feel connected, they feel supported. So I think it will be those types of things that we'll see a difference. We'll see homelessness go down. So when someone can't pay their rent, and, you know, today, if they're like, oh, well, maybe I'm going to try to get connected to a service or a program and go through all these eligibility hoops, which we're trying to make better. But at the same time, if their neighbor can be like, okay, let me help you out, you know, figure things out, I think we'll see these challenges that we talk about a lot. We'll see those start to diminish.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we're down to like the last minute and a half, so I want to make sure so we don't run out of time to thank each and every one of you for coming. Jacob, thank you for your insight.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure to see you. And then Olivia, nice to meet you. You did a fantastic job, and I hope you do more public speaking in the future.
I hope so, too. So nice to meet you.
You, too. And then Matt, so your social media page is going to be sharing this over the next year. Are there other platforms, other ways that people can get connected?
Yeah, I would say, so we're encouraging people to post about what they're doing in their neighborhood and then tag Front Porch Shasta, hashtag Front Porch Shasta. Or you can email me at mplummer@shastacounty.gov and let me know what you're doing. We'd love to share your story. We'd come out to your neighborhood and highlight that as well. So you can find my phone number and email online, you know.
Okay.
So reach out.
fantastic. So what I'd like to do is challenge all of our listeners. First of all, please share. Go online to the program archives and find this show for tonight, and or go to Michelle Slade or My Umbrella Marketing and get a copy of this series and share it on your social media so other people can see it. And then hashtag
Front Porch Shasta,
sorry, just drew a blank. And so that we can follow along and see what our community is doing.
Yeah.
Thank you all for coming. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Good night, everyone.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.